Welcome to the St. Luke's Lubbock Sermon Podcast. Enjoy this sermon by Pastor Matt Wolfington.
Hi, y'all may be seated. So glad that y'all are here in the place that we call the Southwest. And it's some people call it the house of the Lord, but really, everywhere that you go, that's where the Lord goes. And so He resides in you by the power of His Holy Spirit. And so we are so glad that you are here today. And let Dallas introduce our guest artist to just really accentuate the day.
Oh, yeah. So excited to have my friend Dr. Nemius Santos on cello today. Woo-hoo! And I know his family's here with us as well. Thank you guys for being here. So excited that you have joined us for worship. This is my friend Caroline. She's been here before, but it's been a while, so we're just so glad she's with us as well. Yeah, man.
I haven't seen Caroline since camp. Has been a while. So anyway, glad that y'all are here, and as we celebrate just what God's doing in our life, the gratitude that we have for who God is, not just for what He does, but just the power and the majesty of God Himself, just for the majesty of Jesus Christ and His influence and His salvation for us in our lives. That's what today is all about. And as we worship, I just encourage you to keep your heart set on your gratitude. And as we think about gratitude, so a way that you get to express that in a fun way next week, I believe it's next week, in Colors Week next week, yeah. So Team Colors, anybody have a favorite sporting team in your life?
Go Rangers. Go Rangers.
Go Raiders. Go Raiders. Are you still a Rangers fan?
I said go Rangers.
Oh, you said Rangers.
Forget the Raiders.
Okay, please come back to church next week, even though Dallas said just forget the Raiders.
I mean, so. I think anyone that knows me knows I'm a diehard Raiders fan.
I just can't. Next week, wear your favorite team colors. There are a few teams that you're going to be really on thin ice if you wear them around here, so you better be brave if you're going to wear orange. Amen? Amen. So I hope Charlie Brewer comes next week. If Charlie comes next week, get him. Okay, just get him. Okay, but you better have thick skin too, because he knows how to deal it out. This team colors next week. Dress with your favorite team, and this is just a fun way for us just to celebrate this time of year. Let's stand and let's continue to worship, and I just want to pray over us as we just express our gratitude in worship, okay? All that we can give to God is just ourselves. You don't have enough money, you don't have enough effort, you don't have enough talent, you don't have enough time, but we do have a heart of gratitude. Lord God, as we come and gather in your holy name today, Lord, this day is about you. Lord, we are all about Jesus. We want to proclaim his holy name. We want to make his name famous in all of the earth. Lord, we want to proclaim the one true King. Father, and as we do, Lord, feel and hear our gratitude. Lord, teach us to have a heart of gratitude in all that goes on in our life, whether we're full or whether we're empty, whether we're rich or whether we're poor, whether we have a lot or whether we have nothing. Lord, Father, let us give you the gratitude that you so duly deserve. It's in your holy and precious name we pray. All the people said, amen. Lord, that's the place we want to get to. Lord, it's a journey. Church, it's a journey. Father, I pray that we would look to you to take us on that journey, Lord, to lead us and to guide us through the narrow paths of life that get us to that place. Lord, to where we know that the abundance of life comes from you. The provisions of our life come from you. And when we just focus on you, Lord, then you add to us in all the areas of our lives. Lord, let us teach our children that, our grandchildren that, Lord, as we learn it ourselves, Father, to give them just a head start, a jump ahead, to be where we are at this age in life, that they may be so far ahead of us in our faith, Lord, that they would be the next generation that changes the landscape of the kingdom of God here on earth. Lord, let it be so in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen. Amen. So we're doing today just a little bit different. So the children are going to be dismissed right now, and as they are, they're going to come back in a little while when we take up an offering. And so there's Ashley over there waving. She's not up here right now, but she'll be back. I think we all learned a couple of weeks ago that Ashley is more valued than I am when it comes to teaching our children. I said, you are valued more than I am when it comes to teaching our children. I said, we learned that a couple of weeks ago without fail. So today is going to go by quick, no applause, and it's going to kind of fly by, and so I want you to try to keep up. I'm going to tell you that the sermon notes, I think, are back online. And so if you'd put that slide up there, if you have it, you can scan the QR code or you can send the word notes to the telephone number you'll see on the screen and you'll get those, and encourage you to do that. There's also, in reference to today, there's a link at the bottom of that. I normally don't point this out, but there's a giving link at the bottom of that that you can use when we get done discussing today for you to do that. Also, if you didn't get one of these in the mail or you forgot it today, this card right here, I have a whole stack of these that we will pass out here in a little while if you would like one of those. And so we'll get to that. Today, I just want to talk about our gift in reference to our gratitude. And our gift in reference to our gratitude is not just finances, okay? I don't land on that. I don't talk about it a lot. Matter of fact, in the last couple of weeks, I've heard from several people that I don't talk about your money enough. And now, that's not going to change a lot other than the fact that I think the way we are going to start talking about our finances is to hear from you, hear from witnesses, testimonies, life stories about those finances. And so we've started recording some of those. So a lot of you are super afraid, shy to get up on stage or to talk in front of people. You're easier at ease talking in front of a camera. And so we're going to do that. And so you'll see some of those testimonies as time goes on. If you would like to give a testimony about your finances, not bragging, not anything like that, but just talk about how the Lord has provided in your life. Doesn't mean that you're uber rich or wealthy. Doesn't mean that you're poor. Okay, it doesn't mean you're impoverished. Just talk about how God has moved in your life, and you want to share that story. I've already said it. That's how faith builds. When you can tell other people about how God has moved in your life, sometimes it helps people understand where God is moving in their life and how that's possible. And even if you just have a one-minute story, I mean, a 30-second story, that's great. Those are the stories we need to hear because I take up most of the time on the stage. I don't want you hogging my time. So that's funny. Come on now. So those short stories about faith in this journey is what we need to hear from. Today we're going to talk about this gift of money. Anybody have this gift in your pocket today? Anybody have it in your wallets? Anybody have it in your bank account? Anybody have it in your retirement account? Anybody have it invested in your house or your car or your clothes or your gadgets? There's money everywhere in our lives. And when we think about that, it's important to realize that it is a gift. I know we work for it. We're going to talk about that. But work, I think, when it comes to our money, work can become an idol. Sometimes I don't think money is the idol as much as our work is an idol. Because what do we say when we talk about our money? We work hard for our money. Right? We don't say anything else other than that, really. Matter of fact, I mean, there's even been songs written about working hard for my money. That's a theme in our culture, and so sometimes work can become an idol. That's a different topic of conversation for a different day, but we have to be careful about that. And so the core of our worship is gratitude, as we've been talking about all month, and in that gratitude, we have some gifts. One of those gifts are our finances. And so what I want to read to you about our finances is back to the Old Testament, okay? Deuteronomy 28:12. It says this, it says, "The Lord will open for you his good storehouse, the heavens to give rain to your land in its season and to bless all the work of your hand. And you shall lend to many nations, but you shall not borrow." So look there. I mean, what are the blessings? We just worshiped the fact that we're not here for his blessings. Okay? The scripture doesn't say that you work for his blessings. The scripture really does just say we work. Isn't that encouraging? That we just work. I mean, I can go all the way back to the Garden of Eden. Go back to Adam. When Adam was created, it says that God created Adam, created man in his image, and he placed him in the garden to work. To work the soil, to work the land, to be a steward of all that God had given. Everything. You can go through all of Genesis in those first two chapters. And it talks about the plants, the animals, the fish, the birds. It talks about the everything. It talks about the seeds of the ground. It talks about all that is there. And what did he say to Adam? He said, "I'm placing you here to do what you're called to do, and that is to work and to be a steward of everything that I have given you." Everything. Everything. And how did Adam get paid? God provided for him. Adam didn't get cash. He didn't get cold, hard money. He didn't get an IRA. He didn't get an investment account, right? He didn't get coins. He didn't get paper. God just provided for him. God gave him food. God gave him breath. God gave him life. God gave him health. God gave him everything that he needed. He gave him water. He gave everything he needed to sustain himself. Anybody want to sign up for that? And why do we not want to sign up for that when we know that Adam was cared for? Adam had everything that he needed. Except the problem was Adam didn't get to go on vacation. Amen? I don't know that he didn't, but I don't think that he did. Okay? Adam, he didn't get the late. How many of you have gotten the latest text messages? I keep getting them every little while now. It's not that it's time for an upgrade. You're overdue for an upgrade on your phone. Some of you are looking at that phone going, "How old is that?" Right? I mean, all of these things. See, Adam didn't get the upgrades. He didn't get this. He worked and God provided for him. See, the prerequisite to being in the garden, are you ready? This is important. The prerequisite for being in the garden was you were able to work. That you could do what God called you to do. And so that's where our calling is right now. One translation of that passage of scripture at the bottom, it says, "You shall lend to many nations, but you shall not borrow." Another translation says this. It says, not that you shall not. It says, "You will not have need to borrow." Because God provides. When you do what God's called you to do, you don't need anything. He gives you what you need. The problem is, it's not always what I want. Amen and amen and amen. I'm just going to say it for you. It's not always what we want, but it is what we need. And as he gives us what we need, here's where the principles of the kingdom of God come into play. Here's where the principles of your money, your time, your family, your marriages, your jobs, your abilities, your hobbies, everything about you, this is where it starts to matter. And when we think about Deuteronomy, it takes me to Matthew 6:33, where it says, "But seek first his kingdom and his righteousness in all of these other things." All of these things will be added to you. See, first things first. That firm foundation. Nothing else but Jesus. Seek that first and everything else is going to be added to you. Doesn't mean that you don't have to put forth effort. It doesn't mean that you don't have to learn a skill. It doesn't mean that you don't have to learn a trade. It doesn't mean that you don't need an education. It doesn't mean that you don't need a job. I'll say this. I say it probably two or three times a year. Certainly on this day, I love the passage of scripture that says, if you don't work, anybody know the rest of it? You don't eat. You don't work, you don't eat. We pray and we pray and we pray for things to happen. We pray for more money in our lives. We pray for more time in our lives. We pray for more, I don't know, whatever it is. But then yet, we don't put forth any effort to not to make it happen, but to listen to God for what He's calling us to do, for Him to show us how it can happen. I'm not saying that we answer our own prayers, but if you're just going to pray for God to give you, Lord, I need more paycheck, and then you sit down on the couch and wait for more paycheck, not going to happen. Amen? Not going to happen. If you're praying, well, I'm just not even going to go down all the roads that you could do that with. But He really is talking about the seek first His kingdom. Right? Do the first things first, seek His priorities, and these other things will start falling into place. Doesn't mean you're going to become a millionaire. It doesn't mean everything's going to work out perfectly, but it does mean it's going to work out in His will, in His way, in His timing. Even all the way back to Adam. Think about where that went south. Right? It's when he wasn't doing what he was called to do. When he tried to go out on his own. When he tried to do it his own way. When he wasn't seeking the advice of God, but he started seeking the advice of others. When he started listening to other people. When he started listening to the serpent. When he started listening to the lies and the deception. That's where he got off track. See, we need to follow the principles of God. Listen, money is still a provision. It's not just a blessing. We think that it's a blessing, and really all it's intended to do is for us to be able to make it through life to be a blessing. And I will prove it to you. Money is a godly gift without any doubt whatsoever. Money is a godly gift. What we do with it cannot be so godly, but money is a godly gift. God provided in the garden. Somehow and all the things happened and we got out into the world and we had to start making things and doing things, and when we had to make our way, where He said, you're going to have to work and toil the soil and do all these things, and all of a sudden we came up with a way to, for when God was providing, for us to start exchanging those provisions. And so we came up with money, but it's still God providing. Okay, I mean, I would challenge you to go to a grocery store right now, or a convenience store, or a superstore, and just try to barter for provisions without having money. Probably not going to work. You can go to Walmart and say, "Hey, I have this really nice piece of art that I would like to trade for a television," and they're probably not going to do that. Okay. You can go to try to get your car fixed and say, "Hey, I have this. I have all of these clothes that I don't wear anymore that I would like to give you in exchange for a radiator." Probably not going to work, right? Money. It's still a provision. It's still the way God provides. But the problem is, we think that we earn it. We think that we make it. We think that we get it and we deserve it and we become entitled by it. And God's still saying, "No, I'm giving this to you." And what that money, though, when it comes to our money, here's what it requires. It requires management. That's all God talked to Adam about, by the way. You can boil it down to a couple of things. I'm going to boil it down to one. God said, when He put him in the garden, He said, "I want you to manage all of this for me. I want you to focus on the management, right? I want you to focus on what I've called you to do, and that's being a good steward of everything around you." I mean, what? He got to name things. He got to take care of them. It just went on and on and on. But when He stopped focusing on management, right, and started focusing on other things, that's when the problem started. Think about the parable of the talents. You may or may not know this passage of Scripture in this story, this parable of all of these workers, and the master was going to go away, and the boss said, "Hey, I'm going to give you this money. I'm going to be gone for a while. When I come back, I want to know what you've done with the money, basically. I want to know how you stewarded the money. I want to know how you managed what I gave you." Okay, it boils down to this. Some of them managed it really well, and they grew the wealth of the master. And when they gave it to the master, he rewarded them. Some of them did really well. Some of them didn't do so well. And one of them, was just not good with money at all. Anybody want to confess that you're not good with money at all? Oh, there's a few in the room. Hallelujah. And not hallelujah, you're not good at managing money, that's you're just honest. And so they took that money and they're like, oh, I have some money. I don't want to lose this. I know that I'm supposed to be a good steward of it. Well, here's how I'm going to be a good steward of it. I'm not going to do anything with it. I'm just going to bury it in the ground so when my master returns, I can just give it back to him. That's not being a good manager of what you have. That's not being, we're going to talk about, that's not being a blessing to others. That's not growing the kingdom. That's not doing anything other than hoarding. And when you hoard stuff, it doesn't benefit anybody, not even you, because it's buried in the ground. And so when the master came back, see, he rewarded all of those that did something with the money. Wasn't even, some of them didn't do very well. They just did a little bit, and they still got rewarded. But the one that did nothing, the one that held it, the one that hoarded it, not only did they not give a return on the investment, but they got what they had taken away. And I'm not saying that God is going to take away your money, okay? I'm just not saying that. But here's how I believe that your money gets taken away. Everybody that thinks that you work hard, right? Everybody that thinks that you work hard every day or at least at your job, at whatever your job is, if you think you work hard, raise your hand. Want the rest of you, what's your problem? Okay, how about this? If you don't think you work hard, raise your hand. Okay? See, this idea of we get what we, how hard we work has to stop. Because we all work hard. We all go to work. Most of us work at least 8 hours a day. Some work more, some work a little less. Right? We all get paid some wage for the amount of time that we work. You may not like what you get paid, but that's what you get paid. And yet, it's what you do with it. Right? It's this idea of money requires management. How does your money get taken away? Well, if you're not a good steward of it and you say, well, there's more month left than there is money, right? There's more bills left. There's more payments than I have income. That's where your money starts going. And let me tell you, when you've mismanaged for so long, I'm just going to tell you that if today you said, okay, today I'm going to start tithing, I'm going to do what God's called me to do scripturally, I'm going to do it to the best of my ability, and then 2 or 3 months from now, you come back to me and you say, Matt, the ends still aren't meeting, I still don't have enough money. And I say, well, let's talk about your finances. And you show me where you have mismanaged your money for the last 40 years. I'm just going to tell you, I'm not saying God can't work miracles, but the bank is not going to let you out of your debt just because you started to be a tither today, right? You mismanage money for 40 years, it's going to take you a little bit of time to get out of that problem, right? It's going to take you a little time to get out of debt. There are ways to do it. My gosh, we do Dave Ramsey around here. We've done Crown Ministries around here. We've done Conquering Debt God's Way around here. I can give you all the tools to help you get out of debt, but it's going to take time. It's going to be an effort. But this money that can disappear is because you're not managing it well, right? Anybody have children that don't manage their money well, even adult children? Hallelujah. Yes. Yeah. I don't know why I don't have enough money. Can I see how much money you spent on Starbucks this month? Oh, wait, that's just in our family. I hope she's not watching. Right? Oh, that's encouraging. Oh, don't worry. She's not. Okay, I'm done. We'll just go home now. No, seriously. And here's why I mean that, because the way you manage money, oh, this is going to hurt. Everybody pick up your feet. It's going to hurt. See, the way you manage money reveals your motives. It just does. I mean, I would be glad. I mean, I'm an open book. I'll show you our bank account. I'll show you where our money goes. And as you look at that, you can see where our motives are. It happens to all of us. And when you think about that, this management that exposes our motives, well, there's only one way you can really deal with that, because nothing exposes our heart like our money. Amen? Think about people. Think about people. Anybody owe you money? Don't raise your hand. I don't want to get you in trouble. Anybody owe you money? Think about how your heart feels about that person if they haven't paid you back yet. Okay. Now, I'm not talking about $5, $10, $20. Maybe. I mean, you may be really stingy. I don't know. But I mean, that I'm not talking about that. I'm talking somebody owes you a significant amount of money. Right? Let's don't even talk about money. Let's talk about time. Let's say you've done something for somebody over and over and over again, and they're not giving any return on your investment. How's your heart with that person? If somebody's hurt you, if somebody's been in relationship with you and that's not working out, your motives, how's your heart with that person? See, all those things expose our heart. Money really exposes our hearts. Where is your money? Where is it going? What are your motivations? Because here's the deal, is the motivation for how we spend our money, here's where it matters in the kingdom. And this is where I want to get to for just today and end, is our motives matter in the kingdom because our motives determine our multiplication. I know that's a lot of M's. Right? Our motives, we have to manage our money right, which is a gift from God, okay? We have to manage our money right, and then we have to realize what our motives are with the money that we have, because our motives should be multiplying the kingdom. And when our motives are multiplying the kingdom, then everything we have, all of our resources go to that. Not just here in this building, not just in our ministries, but in all of your life, with your family, with your neighbors, with your jobs, with your friends, with your enemies, with everything. It should be multiplying the kingdom, because here's what multiplication does. And this is where it matters for us. This is why we're talking about this. This is why I care. This is why I want you to get to this place, is because when we start multiplying, that's when it starts blessing others. Our multiplication, the reason I want us to grow, not because I say it all the time, you're tired of hearing it, not because I want a bigger building, not because I want more worship services, not because of any of that, because once we grow, then we become a blessing to more people, and more people, and more people, and more people. And when that happens, the kingdom grows. More people come to know Jesus. More people become saved. More people, then it multiplies again, and again, and again. And again, this multiplication blesses community because, listen to me, if these become your foundation, all right, this is our firm foundation, nothing else but Jesus. When these become our foundation, they become the principles we live by. When you live by kingdom principles, I promise you that when you put those principles into practice, day after day after day, when you put them into practice in community, when we do this together, right? When we start multiplying together, then it becomes, here's where it's important, it becomes our culture. It becomes what we are known by. It becomes what the city knows us by, what our community knows us by. We become known by our generosity, and we are generous because of our gratefulness. And if you don't believe me, I'm going to finish with these two passages of Scripture. 2 Corinthians 9:11. Now he who supplies seed to the sower and bread for food will supply and multiply your seed for sowing and increase the harvest of your righteousness. Imagine, remember we started back in September and we had those two bags of cotton seed up here. Imagine, I'm just so happy if somebody gave me two bags of cotton seed. Right? And I want a harvest. But if I don't do anything with those, all they are is seed. And those seeds are going to go bad eventually. They're going to stay in those sacks, and they're going to lose their fertility, and they may, if they get some moisture in them, they may start rotting, and then they're just going to be worthless. What God is telling us right here is you plant those seeds, and when those come up, you have more seed. And then you plant more, and you plant more, and you plant more. That's what he's talking about. And that is including with your money. And you will be enriched in everything for all liberality, which through us is producing thanksgiving to God. Right? In other words, he gives us more for us to be more thankful. And as we're more thankful, we plant more, we get more, we're more thankful. It just goes on and on and on. What are you doing with the seed that you're giving? And then Proverbs 11:24, the one who scatters and yet increases all the more, and there is one who and the one who withholds what is justly due, and yet it results only in want. What does that say? Listen to the Message. I don't normally quote the Message. It's got a lot of theological problems, but I love this one. Are you ready? The world of the generous gets larger and larger. When you're generous, your generosity grows. When you plant seeds, you get more to plant. You get more fruit. It grows and it grows and it grows, and you have more and more and more. That's not why you do it. You do it because it's the foundation of God. He says do it, so that's why you do it. But listen to this. The second part of that is, and the world of the stingy, that's not mine, I'm not saying that, that's scripture, kind of. And the world of the stingy gets smaller and smaller and smaller. See, it works. I've told you, and I don't like for you to hear the pastor say that your finances multiply when you give, because you're just looking at me going, well, that's because the church wants more money. You know what? The church doesn't want your money. The church wants your heart. And with your heart comes everything else. Seek first the kingdom of God, and then everything else shows up. So when you think of all those things, I've been saying it for months now, and it's at the bottom. You can scroll right now. If you're on the sermon notes, you can scroll to the bottom, close to the end of the notes. It's there. It says that the way you live today is completely controlled about what you believe about your promise tomorrow. The way you live today really depends on how you think your future is going to happen in Jesus. That's how it really matters. And let me say it to you this way. If you want to talk about fruitfulness, see, the where you focus today, where you're going to focus your money, where you're going to focus your time, where you're going to focus your resources, is either going to bring you fruitfulness or it's going to bring you frustration. I know it. I bet we could just start telling story after story after story in this room. I don't know how. Especially early on in marriage when Robin and I were first just starting out and we were giving, I don't know how we had enough money. I have no idea. But I know the minute that we stopped giving and the minute we didn't do what God was calling us to do, then money started getting sucked up in other places. The amount of money didn't change, but the resources that the money got spent on, where it got taken away, it could have been an air conditioner, it could have been a car, it could have been health, it could have been just all sorts of things. But yet, when we focused on God, the fruitfulness of that came. Why do we have this extra money? Why do we have this? The bills didn't change. The stuff didn't change. Why do we have this extra money? I've told this year after year after year that there were a few times when we didn't have enough and we were still faithful in our giving. And it wasn't much, y'all. I mean, we're not talking we were going to support the church with what we gave. But when we gave what God called us to, in despite of shortages, where I could see that there was going to be more month than there was money, and we still gave. I mean, we got a $50 AT&T gift card in the mail from AT&T. I don't think AT&T believes in Jesus, as far as I know. Anybody have AT&T? Can confirm. Yes. We have a hole in our alley right now. I can confirm. Yeah, I mean, see, just stuff happens. I would love to get your stories on how that happens, because that's what people need to hear. Not just about your money, but about everything in your life where God has provided in the midst of chaos, where God has provided in the midst of shortages. So here are these cards. I'm not going to spend a lot of time on this because I just trust. I'm going to trust that you're going to do what God's asking you to do. If you need a card, can you hand me those? How about, I need two kiddos. Ashley, just send me two. Here you go. Would you take that stack? If you see somebody raising their hand, would you go give them one of those? If you need one of these cards, you don't have to turn it back in today. I've said that, but we would like them back. I told you last week we're working on budgets. This is how we plan our year next year. This is how we decide what we're going to do and how we're going to do it. And so we would like these back in the next couple of weeks. If you could take one of these, if you've already got one in your hand from the mail, that's great. But fill this out. If you look on the front, it talks about a renewal of your covenants, how you relate in your faith to God and Jesus Christ and in community, your prayers, your presence, your gifts, your service, and your witness. We talk about those all the time. Okay. If you want to talk to me about any of this, there's a place on here that you can check and I will contact you. It doesn't even have to be about this. If you just want to talk to me about stuff in your life, that's what I do. That's what I want to do. Okay. This is the icing on the cake for me right here. Okay. The relationships during the week are where, that's where I live. And then, but on the back, if you flip it over, it talks about your money. Okay. How are you faithfully and prayerfully going to give? This is all I'm going to say about it. I encourage you to figure out where you were this year and to just take a step up. That's it. If you want to take a giant step, that's great. But I'm asking every one of us, if you've never given, I encourage you to start giving. If you've never tithed, I encourage you to start tithing. If you've been tithing all of your life, I encourage you to start doing more than tithing. Okay, and here's what I'm going to say. I say it every year, and I mean it. Dallas was just giving me, I don't know if it was a hard time, really, but he said he liked it. He said, I can't believe that you would promise to give people's money back if this doesn't work, if they get in a bind. We will, because I trust that God's going to take care of us. And so if you say that you're going to start giving for the first time and 6 months down the road you get in a bind and you say, not only can I not give anymore, but I really, to make ends meet, to really to pay this and not have my house taken away or my car repossessed, I need that money back, Matt. We, the church, will give you your money back. Okay, if you start tithing and you get in a bind and you say, I need some help, we'll help you. Okay? 100%. 100% honest. It's recorded. It's online. It's there for all of eternity. I don't have to sign anything. It's there. Okay? So you're not putting me to the test. You're putting God to the test. Amen? I mean, you really are. This is the one place where God says, you can put me to the test. He says, test me in this. He said, give as I've asked you to give, my paraphrase, and I will open up the windows of heaven and I will pour out my blessings. Try it. Just try it. I'm going to give you a second to fill those out if you're going to, and then the kids are going to come through, and they're going to pick up those cards, okay? And if you want to give to Kids Missions, I'm putting a plug in for children's ministry back there, then you can put some money in there as well, okay? Those buckets, what, y'all hold up those buckets. You know what the great thing, y'all come up here. Y'all come up here real quick. So these buckets, let me see one. The great thing about it is these buckets take cash. They also take $100 bills and $1,000 checks. Amen. There's a children's pastor, right? All right, hold on. Y'all just wait here for just a second. Let's give them just a minute. I'm going to pray over our finances. Lord God, thank you that we have this opportunity to respond to who you've called us to be. Lord, and I am not ashamed to talk about our money. Father, it's yours. So when we talk about money, Lord, we're talking about your money. And Lord, and you only ask for a portion of it back, 10%. We get to do with the other 90% that we want, but Lord, I know how you work. Lord, and that 10%, my 90% becomes 100% again and again and again and again. Lord, I pray that we would become better managers of our money. And Lord, that when we look at our hearts, we see the motivations, our kingdom-minded. And Lord, and once our motivations change to be who you've called us to be and to be a people of the kingdom of God in such a way that we want to change the world, Father, it'll start multiplying and people will be blessed. So I realized I should have done this beforehand, but I just thought of as I was sitting there. We talked about budgets last week, and remember I said there's 172 givers, and then there's 32 and 32 and all those things. And so if, stay with me, you ready? Okay, so if 32 of the givers have been giving about 90% of the budget, okay, so I want you to think about this for a minute. If the other 130, whatever that is, 136, if I did my math right, this is going to blow your mind. If the other 136 givers, giving families, right, gave $37.50 a week, that gets us to like $268,000 extra dollars. Blows your mind, doesn't it? And we just think about that. Think about the provisions that God, I'm pretty sure, I don't know about y'all, but I'm kidding. I'm pretty sure Dallas spent more than $37 on coffee last week. Maybe.
Can confirm.
Can confirm. All about perspective, amen? All about provision. All about the foundation. That's where I want us to be. It's not, I just can't say it enough. It's not about your money. It's about our heart. Lord God, as we go from this place today, Lord, I know we've talked about your money a lot, Lord, but it's about you, and it's about us being in right relationship with you. Lord, I don't want us to hold anything back in a relationship with you. Whatever you call us to do, Lord, I pray that we would do it. And Lord, and if we're not serving, Lord, we need to be serving. Lord, if we're not praying, we need to be praying. Lord, if we're not in ministry, if we're not in relationship, if we're not in a small group and being discipled, Lord, we need to do all of those things too. Lord, let us do what you've called us to do. In Jesus' holy and precious name, all the people said, amen, amen.
Thanks for listening to the St. Luke's Lubbock Sermon Podcast. For more information, you can find us on the web at stlukeslubbock.org. That's stlukeslubbock.org.